these triumphant words. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. That golden chain of God's salvation. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. These words of verse 37 have been words that have really echoed inside of me and my family for more than 30 years. I believe if I were to die today, there would be some who would be very close to me who would still have those words immediately upon their mind. They are words that I believe are of faith, words that are to be shouted with inside of us as Christians, when we are sometimes bowed down in an utter weariness, words that really are for the discouraged, words that are like as a battle cry or a watchword for the discouraged. Sometimes we need to learn what it is to shout inside of us, and sometimes even to shout by lifting up our voices. Are we in the midst of difficult circumstances to be those who are, yes, discouraged? Yes, we find ourselves discouraged. Adversities? Things don't go as planned. Health begins to fail. Rebellion in the family. Difficulties that make us want to pull our hair out and all the problems. And then death arrives. Are we then to quit, not keep on going, to give up, give in? And these words need to resound inside of us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. These words really have kept me going when I have wanted to quit, give in, give up. Those discouragements of our own failures, our own sins, those things that overwhelm us. And yet, from these words, there are three thoughts I would bring to you this morning that have been burned into my own thinking and my own heart by the Holy Spirit, and I pray that God would do the same for all of us this morning, that we would be those who are marching forth always, no matter what comes upon us. These three thoughts the Holy Spirit can burn into our thinking this morning. First, what I would call the unexpected word. That unexpected word is there. One word in the Greek language that Paul wrote in, that one word, it takes five words to translate. That phrase we have, we are more than conquerors. Paul wrote is just one word. He loved those compound words that are almost impossible to translate into another language. We are more than conquerors. Hupernekomen. That unexpected word that comes. Certainly a beautiful way of translating it we have here in our Bibles. It goes all the way back to the old Geneva translation that was done in 1560. And they chose this way to translate that one word, hupernekomen. We are more than conquerors. Now I say, I believe it's an unexpected word. If you read down through those enemies that he spells out and put them all together, it's an unexpected word. Here it is, the reality that Paul really does have great difficulty in his daily life. You read of those adversities and adversaries. Seven are listed here before us. Before verse 37, he speaks of this powerful opposition that's really against him in a daily way. Tribulation, hardship, persecution. Those three, I believe, come from that ungodly world that circles around those who are the people of God. They come in different ways in opposition against us, and it's real. Then there's that next grouping of opposition that's spoken of as famine and nakedness. And I think here he's referring to at times there was a lack of enough food and adequate clothing, and there was something here of providing for oneself and family. One would say, when these struggles are going on, doesn't God really even care for me? Look at the struggles I have. Here are the difficulties that are so real in my life. My job, my health, the uncertainties of tomorrow, and what's going on all around me, and these things that seem to be pressuring in upon me and painful in a daily way. What's next? Is there more? And then it's like he puts on top of all this, danger or sword. And he means by that death itself, some were being killed. Some were martyrs already, risking their lives. Now, there's probably not too many of you here. Maybe a few of us have been hit by a rock or two, or a gun has been put in our back, or something really that's kind of small. But we've really never lived a daily life like the Apostle Paul, risking our lives. So Paul is describing something that seems to be a battle that's ongoing every day, and he's put down, and he's having tremendous difficulties. Read with me again those amazing words from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Those words that are really overwhelming when you think of all that he's going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. There the apostle spells it out very vividly for us when he says, I have worked much harder. Well, he's speaking of how these that are saying they are servants of Christ. And he says, now I'm out of my mind to talk like this. He says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Just to stop there, I don't think there's anyone here who has lived a daily life like the Apostle Paul. If there's someone, I really don't know who it would be, if maybe you could identify yourself this morning. This is really on the move. Danger, risking life. Paul, do you have it right? We are more than conquerors. Paul, I believe, knew what it was to face these things that are unpleasant, demeaning, painful, challenging to faith itself. Paul knew challenges beyond what we know today. If you're recently come to Christ, let me remind you that Christianity doesn't offer a life of ease. True Christianity doesn't say, hey, it's wealth, health, and prosperity. It's just the good life. It's the dream. It's all good and cool. That's not the Christianity that we find in the New Testament. There's something here of a reality of torture, of being jeered at and flogged, as Paul mentions these things, of being chained, and as the writer of the book of Hebrews mentioned, even those who were sawn in two. All day long, Paul says, there was that facing of death. So I believe it is an unexpected word that Hooper, nay, Coleman, we are more than conquerors. It really is contrary to what things appear to be in everyday life for the Christian. Paul is not just saying here, somehow you're going to barely get through by the skin of your teeth. Somehow you'll just barely get through. He's saying, no, you're not going to just get through. You're going to be more than a conqueror in all these things. What is it really saying? I still remember one of the most amazing sporting events, even though it was just a high school event, I went to in Pennsylvania many years ago. A good friend of ours was playing on the football team, and Brad was one of the star players, and so I thought, boy, it'd be great. We'll go and see this football game. Well, Brad's team had to pull him out towards the end of the game because the final score was 68-0. More than conquerors. Well, Paul is saying, we in all these things are more than conquerors. He's really saying it's better that we suffer, that we're tortured, that we're jeered at, that we go through all the trials of everyday life, because in these things we are going to be Hooper, nay, Coleman. We are going to be those who are going to more than conquer. We are those who are in these things going to be super conquerors. Now, someone can say, sure, that's in the new heaven and the new earth. Hey, we're going to really have a new world, new bodies, new everything. It's all going to be really great. But Paul, and I think that's the second thought that I would ask God's Spirit to burn upon our hearts and minds, and that is that there is this unqualified victory that's real he's talking about. It's not just for by and by, another day, another world, after death, after Christ comes again. It's for in all these things, right now, today, this morning, in our lives. We could ask that question, is it for later? But Paul's not talking here about later. He's saying in all these things that he has described, there is an unqualified victory for now. He's not denying that we have problems. We have a group of strange teachers in our day among Christians, and they come to try to deny that there are any problems in the Christian life. Or if you have problems, you don't have enough faith. Somehow or another, they really didn't get that through to the Apostle Paul, because he lived with real problems. And at times, even with his great apostolic faith and that trust and prayer that he had that was part of his daily life, the Lord said, no, I'm not going to remove this from your life. My grace is sufficient. You will continue to battle with this. You'll be reminded of your weakness and of my strength. But those in our day that somehow or another try to deny that as Christians we would have difficulties, reality is we live with difficulties, health problems, problems of financial needs, nagging problems that we deal with of sin. We still find sin that we deal with and all that comes in upon us from the world. If you deny the problems that are squeezing in on you, you're really denying reality. We, as God's people, live with those problems. We are in all these things. And there's no snap of the finger and suddenly they disappear. They're real in every one of our lives. Those Eastern religions that try to somehow or another just negate it all and forget it all, that's not Christianity. Or those who think somehow or another they can just have faith and it's gone. What God has given to us is something that's much more. Not that the problems would disappear. No, in all these things, the victory is always the case. In all these things. They don't disappear. But it's that every encounter with trouble, even hostility unto death, the victory is unqualified. It is real. Discouragement, failures, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Let me share with you a testimony of one of those great Scottish martyrs. A testimony of John Nesbitt in 1685, a Scottish Covenanter. Shortly before his hanging, he wrote these words as a prayer. And I think we feel something of that, more than conquerors in all these things that God gave to him. He prays, O triumphant man of sorrows, why am I so afraid of suffering? Have I forgotten that you draw near to your sufferers with special manifestations of your mercies, more than compensating for the adversary or for the adversity? Have I forgotten that you convict the world through a suffering, not a triumphant church? Have I forgotten that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, that when I am weak, I am strong, that your grace is made perfect in my weakness, that the willing loss of earthly things for the sake of heavenly things is a powerful witness to the reality of those unseen treasures before a world enslaved to the tangible. Lord, I am no hero. I only want to live a quiet life with my family and be left alone to get on with my ministry. But the world is becoming increasingly hostile to your claims, and I am learning that if you do ordain that I should seal my testimony to you with suffering, I have nothing to fear. You will be there with me. You will be there at my side. You will not let my faith die and discredit you. Nothing can wrench me out of your loving embrace. I now receive and I treasure your assurance and peace. In your holy name, amen. In all these things, whatever there may be in your life, whatever those circumstances, and each one of us can think, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. My troubles are special. No one knows what I've suffered. But in all these things, there is unqualified victory, even if you're facing death itself. How is that possible? And we come to the Lord's table this morning in all the simplicity of the Lord's table to remember how it's possible. That in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The third thought this morning is that of the undeserved love of Christ. How is it possible? Hooper ne Coleman, we are more than conquerors. How can it be? Through Him who loved us. Certainly, very clear to us all, this refers to the love of Christ. How He does love us. There's a grand old hymn that we sang last Sunday evening, and we'll sing again at the end of our service this morning. But one stanza has it from this hymn, Thy Love to Me. It says, let me more clearly trace Thy love to me. See in the Father's face His love to thee. Know as He loves the Son, so dost thou love thine own. Thy love to me. And certainly, all of us here, I would hope this morning, know what it is of the grandeur and greatness of God's love and the wonder and awe of Christ's love that draws us to Him. And we really love Him because He first loved us. But there is a special emphasis here in these words. If you'll notice carefully, it is not in the present tense. It is certainly one of the great truths that we find all through the writings of the Apostle Paul, how the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, and nothing can separate us from that love that will go on and on. He loves us. Or the opening verses of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, it speaks of this one who, present tense, loves us. But here, Paul says it's through Him who loved us, not throwing any doubt at all on the present reality of Christ's love. That's what he's saying we can never be separated from, that love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But he is focusing us back to that one great act that demonstrates, proves, declares once for all the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Who loved us, focuses upon the cross and what Christ did for us on the cross. It points to that one great point in time when His love is shown, exhibited there for us always to remember. When we were rebels, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Here is His love that is a great reality for us right now to remember. What love! What intense love! Sacrificial love! Really, nothing but this love can explain the unexpected word, hupernaikomen. Nothing but this love can really tell us of why it is that we are always more than conquerors. It was at the cross that Christ showed that love. The medieval church taught that it was essential to salvation to attain an absolutely correct understanding of all the different doctrines of the church. And somehow or another, they held that the faith that saves was not a trust in a person, but it was an assent to those correct propositions about God, about the universe, and about the soul of man. If you have it all straight, and you can say yes to it all, you're in. But Paul is telling us that it's through a person. Yes, who he is important. Yes, what he has done is extremely important. But we are vitally connected to that by being in Christ. We are saved through what Christ has done. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. My confidence this morning is not in the correctness of my doctrine, but in Him. My confidence is really not something that I find in my love, but in His love to me. That's what keeps me encouraged, marching forth, no matter what happens. My confidence is not in me or my love, but in Him. All about me is frail, fickle, and changing. But His love for me is really steadfast, faithful, and forever. That's a word that brings for us that we can be more than conquerors. I hope this morning you'd have those things written upon your minds, that you wouldn't somehow or another go away trusting yourself. There's a hymn, "Let me no more my comfort draw from my frail hold of Thee. In this alone rejoice with awe, Thy mighty grip of me." I ask you, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, can you confess with Paul, in the face of all the circumstances in your life, whatever this last year has been, or last 10 years, or whatever you may fear for tomorrow, or the next days ahead, can you say with the Apostle Paul, can you say with me that hupernaikomen? Can you say, we are more than conquerors? I would ask you to repeat with me this verse there in Romans 8, verse 37. Let us say it together. It begins with that negative, that we will not find ourselves overwhelmed in these things. No. And then together, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that You would open our hearts right now, that we would sense afresh how great is that love of Christ, that He truly is the one who is the lover of our souls. Draw near to us, O Lord. We desire to know that love in a deeper, fuller way this morning, as we would meditate on this great, unexpected word that we are more than conquerors in all these things. O Lord, cause us to focus upon how great is the love of Christ in dying for sinners such as we are. We ask this in Christ's name.